name by any other. No, a rose, is it not? By any other name would smell as sweet.
Thank you.
Is that Shakespeare?
I believe it is. Yes, I think so.
What's in a name?
Bless you, dear.
Bless you, my child. Over here, names as such are not important.
Do you have a spiritual one?
Invariably, yes. No, this doesn't necessarily come for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I suppose it is natural to assume that a person who has only been here for a short space of time, whose mental attitude has not changed so drastically or very much from the old material self, and for various other reasons, the name by which a person is known remains for recognition purpose in a sense. After all, if you had lost a son, as the world calls losing at death, whose name was Peter, and he suddenly transformed himself and his name, it would be very difficult.
Yes, of course.
In understanding and appreciating and reciprocating and in indeed making contact, whether it is in your world or in this. The name in itself, admittedly, is unimportant. But nevertheless, while memory material lasts, names are important. They have their meaning and their place and their purpose in the minds of individuals associated, so the name remains. But many are they who, having gone far into the horizon of the spirit, as one may say, do change. But names to us are not really important.
No.
We are not known so much in a sense by name, but by what we have become. We are known in a sense by our character, our personality, our development and evolution of spiritual awareness, consciousness, faculty, expression, all the deeper things appertaining to man's spiritual advancement. These are the aspects of self which make themselves apparent and by which we are known. In your world, it is feasible and possible to be known by a certain name and to be accepted. And indeed, it is possible to create, as it were, a very charming and attractive exterior and personality. But very few in your world are sufficiently conscious and aware to be able to delve and to extract, as it were, the real individual, the subtleties of nature, the subtleties of personality, the subtleties of feeling, the subtleties that constitute the innermost senses of the individual. In your world, you can have a facade that may deceive, that may, on the surface, give people an entirely different impression as to what the individual may well be in the innermost secret part of himself. You see, here, for the first time, a man stands revealed for what he is, with all his imperfections and the aspect of perfection. We in this world see each other with a clarity of vision. We know each other in such a way that nothing can dismay. By this I mean that we know that even if a person has not progressed very far, who still, as it were, links mentally, in a material sense, with material things, and earth in particular. In other words, if a person is of a low nature, of a low aspect of self, who has not spiritually become aware or progressed, we know that eventually the darker side shall disappear, that the better aspect aspect of self will assert itself, and gradually change will take place, and man will rise out of the darkness of himself into the full light of the spiritual consciousness. Nothing is lost. No one is lost. There is hope for all God's children. When one looks back into the old teachings, one is very aware that man has been, through centuries of wrong thinking, taught many things which, rather than have helped him to progress, to some extent have held him back from aspect of truth, because man oftentimes, through fear, has put on a surface show of what you term religious and spiritual desiring, or spiritual or religious development, which is by its very nature something in a sense almost material, because man has, in your world for centuries, gone to this or that particular church, has bowed the head and bent the knee, and reiterated prayer after prayer, and sung hymn after hymn, with little thought, with little conviction, with little or no realization. Many are they who, often through fear, take upon themselves the pathway as set out by their particular religious denomination, accepting creeds which they have not even often analyzed. In other words, there are many in your world who have found on arriving here much that they have accepted willingly, much that they have taken unto themselves as matter of form and habit without serious consideration or thought. They have found much erroneous teaching, and this has been a barrier and not a help. And I think this is something which many in your world do not and cannot appreciate. You cannot come into the full light of wisdom and God's love until you have thrown from yourself all these aspects which by their very nature are surface, with no depth, no deep meaning. When Christ came into your world, he came into a world where the situation, materially, and in his part of the world politically, was very greatly in need of spiritual revelation. It was a turbulent time in man's history. The Romans had undergone tremendous change. They had become very powerful. The known world of that time was ruled by the might and the power of Rome, and the gods that they worshipped were gods that had been created centuries before and had become accepted as deity and power, and in consequence the Romans had a very strange and materialistic aspect and approach to the things of the mind and of the spirit as well as the material, and they ruled with such power and such cruelty. And it was a time that was appropriate, that was obviously right for revelation of the Spirit by the very nature of such a one as the Christ, one who taught the things of the mind and of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and demonstrated it by the powers that he possessed, these things, these old truths, were known centuries and centuries and centuries before the Romans. Indeed, if one were able to go into the detail that would be necessary to accentuate and to prove what I'm saying, it would take many, many, many hours. But what I'm suggesting here is that the simple teachings of the Christ, and fundamentally they are simple, because all truth in fundamental aspects of self-knowledge is simple, and truth is of self. This may strike one perhaps as being rather odd, but by this I mean that we must see ourselves as to what we really are, and that is spirit. So therefore, the fundamental spirit, which is of all life, which is demonstrated not only in human life, but in animal life, in all aspects of life upon earth, whether it is in nature, or even outside of nature, it is all the fundamental spirit. It is all the fundamental vitality, call it what you will, that animates all things. Christ knew the innermost power of the spirit, had such realization of it, and had no doubts, no fears, no qualms as to how he could utilize and manifest it. That is why, because he was truly spirit, and understood the power of the spirit, could achieve the things that he achieved. And though he did not, in a sense, as the world sees it, win a victory, yet he won the greatest victory of all victories by overcoming death, by communing with those who loved him. He was able to show that death overcometh what the world calls life. Death, the very power of the spirit which is indestructible, this is the power, this is the might, where empires fall, as they do and must, because they are purely material, based on material things, as the Roman Empire fell and was disrupted and eventually destroyed, the power of the Spirit remained. The power that Jesus manifested is still within every human being. It is so overburdened and overladen by material thoughts, material things, that man does not realize he possesses it, does not perceive it, is not consciously. He has indeed almost, you might say, killed it, but it is still flickering like a little flame in every human breast, in every human individual. There is the power of the spirit, dormant, latent, waiting to be drawn out.
We don't see much evidence of it working out in the daily lives, though, do we?
Even those who profess to know of this great truth, even those who are instruments, those who are spiritually conscious and aware, even among these, there is not perhaps the brightness that one would wish to see. There is not perhaps the effort made that should be made. There is not perhaps sufficient faith. Indeed, there are many factors in your world which cause concern, even among those who understand some aspects of these truths. But nevertheless, here and there, the power of the Holy Spirit is manifesting. It is demonstrating. It is giving new life, impetus to others. We must not be too unhappy or distressed.
No.
We must try, if we can, to see the power of the Christ Spirit manifesting its radiance in the darkest corners of the earth. We know that there are many, many unhappy souls in your world. There are many who, through no fault of their own, so it seems, are suffering. They are innocent victims. But all men, though they are separate in themselves, are all part of the great whole. It is therefore quite natural when man realizes this, that no man can live to himself alone, that all share the universal spirit, though it is manifesting through individuals of all nations, of all persuasions or creeds, though it is manifesting among all the human race, the same spirit, that spirit can only manifest itself in each individual according to the desirings of that person. It can only manifest its power according to the illumination of the mind of each individual and the desirings of the individual to achieve something beyond the material, and striving to give and assert the power of the spirit to such an extent that it should change the individual and in consequence eventually affect those around and about. Everyone is responsible for everyone else. This is something which quite often is not always fully aware among peoples. There are many who are full of self-righteousness. Jesus had this to contend with. Often he came up against problem and difficulty among the very people who should have been his followers and assisted him most, who should have seen in him the light that so shone forth, that it dazzled by his brilliance. But they were dumb, and they were blind, and they would not hear, because they were full of their own importance, they were full of their own awareness of what they thought was truth, and they were jealous, and they were stupid and material, and they resented, and indeed in time they were responsible for the crucifixion. You know, child, we must always remember that what we do to others can oftentimes hurt us most.
Yes.
We must always think good and strive to do that which is good. We must learn to forgive and to forget. We must put ourselves in the very forefront where trouble is, and not avoid it. We must not stand by the wayside, but we must march on, ahead, abreast, and we must try at all times to overcome ourselves, the worser self. We must never be afraid to stand in the most dangerous place. We are given a great power. We are given a great knowledge, a great realization, and truly the power of the Spirit will overcome all things, no matter how hard, difficult, or material, no matter how distressing, no matter how much we may be heavily laden by material things. If we have within ourselves the true understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing can harm us. Nothing can in any way affect us. We must remember that we have within ourselves such a force, such a power, that it is by this power that we overcome. You are living in a world where never at any time in its history was it more in need of the power of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of that Spirit. You may go here and there. You may stand, as you oftentimes do, in the pulpit, upon the platform, on the rostrum, giving out the message and the word of the Spirit. And sometimes, as I've often known it to be, you have felt afterwards that it often fell on stony ground, the word, the message. But here and there it has been joyfully received. And if out of an audience of 40 or 50 or whatever it may be of peoples, if only one soul is brought into the fuller light and given the incentive to express the power of the Spirit within, if they had received truly the message, then it has not been a wasted effort, it has not been time ill spent. And even so, the word of the Spirit goes forth. And many, many, many are blessed. You must not feel disconsolate.
I don't really. I was very thrilled last Sunday. I thought it was a wonderful service.
There are times, as you well know, when the whole atmosphere is alive with the power of the
yes.
Spirit, where it is full of such tremendous vitality, where one senses and knows that truly the power of the Spirit has descended upon them. Truly, we are blessed, child. We must not become disheartened.
No, it's the world at large, though.
The world is the world. And the world is receiving that which it has brought about. You see, child, though there are many things in your world that are unjust, many things happen that distress, and many individual things in particular that cause grave concern. All these things can be traced back in time itself to the stupidities and foolishness of generations. Thoughts are vital, are alive. They may not always manifest them at that hour, at that moment of time, but by generating, as man has done for centuries, all manner of evil thoughts and bad things, eventually these things create materially and bring about circumstances and situations where, so it seems, many innocent people are suffering. We do not like to look into your world and see sadness and suffering. We do not like to witness and know of many of the terrible things that are happening. And if it were in our power to ease the situation, which sometimes we can, or to create an entirely different set of vibrations or conditions which would wipe away many of the things that are causing distress, we would do these things willingly. But man soweth, and as he sows, so truly shall he reap. And if one can see that an individual is in a sense only an individual from the point of view that he has created to some extent his own aspect of self and personality, but it is the same living spirit that is functioning in all life, that it is fluidic, and the thought forces are fluidic, and these thought forces are passing from one to the other, and while man is thinking wrongly, he will act accordingly. And though there are those struggling out of the mire, as it were, of man's materialism, there are always those around and about him who will endeavour to pull him back. And the struggle goes on, and innocent oft-times are caught up with those who are not so innocent, those who are, as the world sees it, and indeed are, in some senses, wicked. There is always this fight between good and evil, the power of black and of white. There's always the eternal struggle of material against the spiritual. This is, as it has always been through man's history, the great struggle. But it is an unequal one, inasmuch, though man may not perceive it, that it is an unequal one, that the power of good eventually shall always overcome. The dominating power of love, the dominating power of the Spirit, the eternal Spirit which cannot be destroyed, eventually will overcome and will win. It must, by the very nature of things. For material things pass away. They are subject to changes, constant changes, sometimes so subtle they are hardly perceived. But the power of the Holy Spirit is never changing. It is eternally strong and powerful. It is eternally good. And though there may be, for the individual, when he leaves behind material things and begins to climb in the realm of the spirit, his aspects will change, and he will assimilate new things, new knowledge, new ways of expressing love and the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet it is the eternal spirit which is ever changing and yet ever the same. It is difficult to explain the spirit and the power of the spirit and the manifestation of that power. But do not be distressed.
No.
Your world is full of travail, full of sorrow, full of agonies of many kinds. But out of all this terrible agony of materialism, that which is of the spirit shall triumph. I know that you strive. Go on striving, child. Know that I am with you, and many are they also who come. We are truly, truly pleased with you, and that which you've done,
and
which you shall yet do, and many shall have cause to bless you, and the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through you. My love and my peace and my blessing be with you and all who listen to the word of the Spirit. Farewell, my child.
God bless you, dear. Bye-bye, Mickey, dear.
Happy Christmas.
Oh, dear.
We've got nearly 2 months yet, isn't it? Five, six.
Yeah.
How long is it for Christmas? 7 weeks, eight?
Well, it's not